Well, some fun was had discussing our readings for today at Sermon Circle on Wednesday. And I wish I had more time to give you an overview of the many avenues that we meandered down in our time together. But having said to you a few weeks back that my sermons over the years have got shorter, I am reluctant to go down any rabbit holes today. You'll be glad to know in our selection of biblical readings. Although I did look back 12 years ago, 2014, which I think may have been the last time I preached on these readings. And it was a lot longer. That was a good 20-minute sermon there. So you lucky escape these days. In order to prevent me expanding my sermon, I want to focus on our gospel for today. A selection of parables, and you may have noticed if you looked in the bulletin or picked up the readings, which are available as a printout for today, they have a slice taken out of the middle of the passage for today. And I'll say more about that in a moment. I'm trying to keep a little spoiler to try and keep you concentrating for the next few minutes. Today's passage is the omnibus bill of parables, a collection of what are known as parables of the kingdom or the reign of God. In fact, it's not a bad idea to remind us at this point that all of Jesus' teaching, all of Jesus' parables, even the stories of miracles and healings, all relate to this idea of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I tend to use the phrase the reign of God, as we too easily associate kingdoms both with male rulers and with physical realms. The reign, the kingdom of God, is neither of those. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, is not a place. It's not even a post-mortem destination, as some seem to think. It's not a nation state, as we know them. It's a state of being. It's a state of relating to the divine, to creation, to one another and to ourselves with justice, with equity, with love, compassion, grace, healing, peace, and wholeness. For me, it's easier to think or more helpful to think of the reign of God as a when, not a where. It is when love is paramount. It is when healing is made possible. It is when grace abides. It is when the values of divine life and divine love are lived out. And the values of empire, the values of prejudice, of racism, of persecution, of exclusion, of all that harms and separates us from one another, when all of these things are destroyed and subverted, this is the reign of God. And Jesus gives us glimpses of this way of being, this divine reign, in the way that he lives, in the stories, the parables, and the healings that he shares. None of these stories are, however, descriptive. They all have, the kingdom is like this, or the kingdom is like that. They are not trying to explain exactly what the reign of God is, but to give us a glimpse of the many and varied aspects of the life of the divine way of being. It's magnificent and growing from even a tiny start. It's a treasure in a field, and those who glimpse it are desperate to possess it. It's beyond price and worth losing everything to gain it. It's all-embracing, and at the same time, it is a process of discernment. It is, as the old Sidney Carter chorus goes, ever old and ever new. In today's parable, and the many more throughout the Gospels, there are multiple examples of how exciting and puzzling and disturbing and challenging and inspiring and expansive the reign of God is. There are no easy answers. The stories are there for us to listen to learn from, to meditate on, to struggle with, and ultimately to live out. What does it mean to work with a mustard seed, the weed that becomes a haven for the birds of the air? What does it mean? What is yeast doing when it is mixed into flour as we watch the wonder of bread being made? What does it mean to pursue the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price to the exclusion of all else? What does it mean to cast the net wide and then discern what is valuable and not valuable? I mentioned that you may have noticed that there are some verses missing from the middle, verses left out of our gospel reading. But what is actually missing is what we had last week, the explanation of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. I've said before, I don't actually think Jesus does explain parables. I think that goes against the form of parables. And indeed, the week before, when we had the explanation of the parable of the sower or the soils, I think they're the work of later editors. I think the parables themselves give us no easy answers. They don't have one meaning, and they're not meant to be comfortable. They're meant to give us something to sit with, to puzzle over, and to find the truth for the moment we are in. Not one form of truth preserved in aspic. The parables are stories, not doctrine. Many, perhaps most of us, like easy, nicely bundled and easily understood teaching. And I sometimes wonder if we as preachers are actually doing that too readily, shutting down the expansive and the challenging in order to make things easier to digest. But Jesus does not do that. His parables and his teachings are full of twists and turns, an allegory here, an allusion there, an outrageous statement to top it all off. Parables work on many levels with many different meanings, depending on where we are, what our context is. We can place ourselves in any part of a parable. We could at any time be the merchant or the pearl or the field or the flour or the yeast or the one making dough or the bread. We could be the seed or the bush or the birds or the branches. We will read a parable differently and should read a parable differently depending on where we are in our lives together and as individuals, in our dance of faith, in our learning, our living, our loving. To me, parables reflect in their very nature the nature of the kingdom, the reign of God. They are not easily pinned down. They are fluid and ever-changing, something to be entered into and to be lived, something to grapple with and to ponder. The reign of the divine is not easily pinned down, nor is it something simplistic. It is the story of our becoming and the story of the divine becoming in us. We do not experience parables in a vacuum. We do so in the midst of our own messy and frightening, inspiring and wonderful lives. We do so in community. We do so with the Spirit enlivening our hearts and minds, with the God who reveals themselves within us and around us. We live the mysteries and the wonders of God's divine reign in our praying, our worship, our reading, our learning, our acts of love, our works of justice and equity, our advocacy, our sensuality, our sexuality, our art, and our soul. We will never and should never attempt to pin down the parables, just as our faith, when we pay attention to it, is fluid and evolving. So will our understanding and our living out these values of abundance, of mystery, of hope, and of growth be. Let us pay attention to these wonders, to one another, to the word of God spoken to us, through us, and in us. Let us be living parables, signs of the inbreaking reign of the divine. Thanks be to God. Amen.